the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
It's a familiar image, this image of the vine and the vine grower. At least relatively familiar, rising out of the scriptures. We find it in the Old Testament, as well as in the gospel passage that we heard today, this image that God's people are part of the vine and God is the vine grower. And in the passage we heard this morning, there's also the talk of pruning, pruning so that the vine will bear more fruit. It occurred to me that although I've been aware of this image and pictured this image for years in my own study and understanding of the scriptures, it occurred to me that all of these years I've been mentally picturing not a vine, but a shrub. Probably because that's the only thing in my life that I ever actually physically pruned. A shrub like forsythia or lilac. Pruned for the health of the shrub and for the beauty of a rich spring bloom. But Jesus is talking about vines. Vines. Probably grapevines. Those would have been familiar to his followers and what they would have mentally pictured when he spoke about a vine. It may or may not be terribly significant whether it's vines or shrubs. And yet in my image, and I think it is different, and at the very least, this change of image for me reminds me, and perhaps all of us, that Scripture continues to speak, offering a new voice, a new idea from what I always thought this passage was about. Maybe it's about vines, not shrubs. This passage that we heard is sort of a postscript to a long passage in John's Gospel that is called the Farewell Discourse. Jesus gives a very long speech and prayer in John's Gospel. The setting is the Last Supper, so his ministry, his time on earth, is drawing to an end. This passage appears only in John's Gospel, the whole farewell discourse, including the passage that we heard today. When we look at this image of the vine, it is in fact a common Semitic form of discourse called a mashal. It is an applied metaphor, in a sense. It's not a parable, it's not really an allegory, it's just an image that is then metaphorically applied to real life. And as I said before, this passage and a great deal of what precedes and follows it appears only in John's Gospel. As you may know, John's Gospel was written considerably later than the other three, and it arises out of what is called the Johannine community, the early Christian community, the community that was very urgently trying to figure out who they were and how they were called to be Jesus' followers in those generations after his life and death, and who they were meant to be within the broader context of Jewish practice and worship. In one sense, the Christian community at that time was a bit of a teenager trying to develop its own identity, both in terms of what it was not and in terms of what it was. And it's helpful to me when I read John's Gospel in particular to remember that some of that searching for identity, both the positive and the negative, are a part of what is going on in the midst of the Johannine community. And when we have this long passage that Jesus speaks that doesn't appear in the other Gospels, it's hard to know exactly which of those words might have been Jesus's, which of them might be elaborations on other things that Jesus said at other times in his ministry, and how much of them actually have arisen out of the life of that community and their experience of the living Christ continuing with them. In this image, in this mashal, this illustration, God, as Jesus says, as the evangelist says, God is the vine grower, the planter and tender of the vine. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the vine. And the disciples, Jesus' friends and followers, are what are called in this image the branches. I think that word branches kind of led me astray down the whole shrub path as well. Because vines don't so much have branches, do they? As they have tendrils or stems or runners or all sorts of much more complicated forms of growth. Picture a vine you have perhaps tried to grow, or one that perhaps took over where you didn't expect it to be. Picture, not kazoo. Or Greedy Charlie. I have a much better image I'm leading up to. Picture a vine. What a vine looks like as it grows. When I think of a vine, my mind goes not to Cudzu or to Creeping Charlie, but to Wrigley Field. If you know anything about baseball, and if you don't, I'm going to tell you. Wrigley Field is unique amongst major league parks in that the wall at the back of the outfield, the wall that separates the field from the bleachers, is completely covered with ivy. Completely covered with ivy. It's a characteristic part of the unique character of Wrigley Field. I've been watching some of the games recently. The Cubs are doing really well, right? The ivy has not leafed out yet. But the stems, the branches, the tendrils are there. And perhaps even more without the leaves, you can see the nature of that vine. About how it's hard to tell where one stem begins and another ends. Where they are all interwoven in this kind of rich mat of what will be growth. It's dormant now, but it won't be for long. Hard to even individually differentiate branches because they're not branches. They're stems or tendrils that are woven together. And the evangelist who has written the Gospel of John for us, the evangelist whose voice rises out of this Johannine community, the evangelist is offering us that image of a vine as an image for the community of disciples. That image of not just the root or the central stalk of the vine, but the fullness of the vine with all of its tendrils, all of its different shoots of growth. The evangelist is offering us that image to represent the community of disciples. This story is not so much about whether an individual branch on a shrub is fruitful or not. It's more about the nature and quality of the community that is the followers of Jesus, and what that community looks like, and what it lives like. That image helps us see what being a disciple means. To be a disciple, which is to be the stems or the tendrils of that vine. To be a disciple is to have no life without the connection to the central stock, without the connection to the vine, the rooted vine itself. And within the context of this image, each of those strands, each of those stems or tendrils is directly connected to that central stock, to the vine. Each of the disciples has a direct personal life-giving bond with Jesus, who is the true vine. The branches are a part of the vine, not just connected to it, but in essence a part of it. The stems are a part of the central vine. They are, in that sense, part of Jesus' own mystical body. And therefore, the way to be a productive branch is to be attached to the vine, to be in relationship to Jesus. This theme is expressed over and over again in John's Gospel, especially with this term of abiding. One of the evangelist's favorite words, abiding, remaining, residing, being with. The word abide appears over and over and over again in John's Gospel, I think 9 times just in the short passage that we read today. The disciples live in Jesus, and they live in Jesus' love in the same way that Jesus lives in, is a part of, the love of God. In this understanding, then, to separate yourself from the vine, from the rooted vine, leads to spiritual withering. Spiritual death, to separate yourself. You've seen a vine where one strand has gotten broken off and the leaves have turned brown and withered within the context of that broader vine. In that sense, the evangelist is here not so much threatening those vines that refuse to prosper as describing a statement of fact. Those stems, those tendrils that become separated, lose their source of life and vitality, lose their love of Jesus that courses outward from the root. Also, to be a disciple in this image, to be a disciple is to be intertwined one with another. No one strand is more important than any other. There is no room in this image of the growing vine for ego or self-promotion. No single branch that stands out other than that rooted branch, which is Jesus. No single branch which stands out as more important or stronger or more authoritative than any other. But also in this image of intertwined tendrils or stems, there is also no real possibility for non-involvement. You are woven into the vine. You are a part of this interwoven community. And think also about what a vine offers to each of its tendrils. It offers strength and support, held up and connected. In times of weakness, held up and connected to the other tendrils of the vine. It offers an integration and a mutuality in sharing the love of Jesus. Vines are also wonderful in the way they spread. Maybe not when they're in your garden, but at least in this image. The way that as long as they stay connected to that central root, they spread and bring other tendrils with them. It's a wonderful image, I think, to picture the community that is Jesus' followers, that is Jesus' disciples. We are the tendrils. We are the interwoven stems of that vine connected to the true vine, Jesus, which is rooted in God's own vine. This image of the vine has implications for what it means for us today to continue in discipleship, to continue as Jesus' followers. It was clear that in the Johannine community, there was actually an aversion to any sort of hierarchical authority or any sort of structure within the followers of Jesus. These images intentionally and vividly point out this mutual, egalitarian, interwoven community that was the followers of Christ. And the only essential part of that for the Johannine community was to retain that connection to God's love through Jesus. That was what it meant to be part of the community, to be connected to Jesus' love and to be fed by that personal bond, by those many individual personal bonds to the nurturing love and life of Jesus. And that bond for the Johannine community, that personal direct bond between the stems and the stalk that is Jesus, that personal bond in the tradition of the Johannine community was the basis for what it meant to be church. That was what made that community church. That was what identified and defined that community and its authority. And one commentator writing on this particular passage in John says, "No extant Christian communion, us, any other, no extant Christian communion is exclusively Johannine. No extant, no current Christian community lives structured solely by that personal bond with Jesus. But there is no extant Christian community that is not Johannine in its warp and woof. The mutual love of Christians and their acceptance, their connection to the love which Jesus gives, is the great symbol of faith. And where that is lacking, where that personal bond is lacking in Christian communities, there is no Christianity, only a parched husk of forms and formulas." But this writer goes on to talk about the structure of churches today. And those structures vary, but all except for maybe the smallest of Christian fellowships these days has some sort of structure. He continues, "While nothing in the church takes precedence over the agape of the supper discourse, over the celebration and the realization of that loving bond, nothing takes precedence over that. In our sinful and fallen state, love needs implementation. There is room in the church for clearly defined ministries, even hierarchically ordered ones, along with the pure democracy of love. There is a place in a community of charity for synods, open hearings, sanctions, committees, even budgets. Love, in other words, has consequences. The starting place must always be that interwoven community of love, shared with one another, rooted and nurtured and sustained by Jesus' own love. That must always be the primary relationship. And yet in our world, the implementation, the consequences of that are made real in the organizational institutions of the church. They are secondary, but they are essential as ways to implement that love in our lives and in our world. But I leave you primarily with that image of the vine as a symbol for who we are as the community that follows Jesus today. Interwoven, mutually supportive, loving one another, connected to the root that is Jesus' own life and love. God is the vine grower who grows, nurtures, and sustains. Jesus is the root, the stalk, to which those who seek Jesus are still connected. And we are the tendrils that are sustained by that stalk and that continue to grow, nurtured by the life and love of Jesus. Amen.